Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Everybody talking about the weather again. That once more tops our news with, at least in this case, a brief respite from frigid temperatures for a day and a half, maybe, as we're anticipating going to 35 today, 40 tomorrow, but there will be a little precip on Saturday.
And in terms of snow, it seems the further north you go, the more snow you got. I think Zeeley and Opal got about 5 inches.
Yeah, 5 inches in Zeeley. Then you go southeast to Connellsville. They had 4.8. Monaca and Indiana, PA, 4 inches. Officially at the airport, just 1.7 inches of snow through the day.
That's interesting.
Which may surprise people, because there were times throughout the course of the day where the roads would get covered over again. And it was a big challenge for a lot of people who were out and about. I know my sister was flying out of town, and, you know, my family members all text me about weather, TSA, flight schedules. This is what I get, which I'm happy to accommodate. But, yeah, weather has been an issue. Now, that said, we get this little break above freezing, but then next week, even colder air moves into the region with a forecast and high Monday here of 8 degrees. And we'll go below zero, and it will be the coldest weather we've had since February 10 years ago.
You know, this weather pattern that we're going through next week, they'll be feeling it in the western states, the upper Midwest. Saturday, Sunday, Monday starts to warm up for them. We're going to get it about a day or maybe 18 to 24 hours later. And it seems to last about the same for everybody. This thing's just going to ease in from Canada and lay here like a blanket for a couple days.
We really should blame Canada for this. Let's see, looking at the long-range forecast. So once we go to the deep freeze this week, it stays below freezing for the entire week, but won't be in the single digits later in the week.
What gets to me, I just have to be honest, what gets to me is when I see a predicted low of -1 on Wednesday morning. It's like, come on, man.
Come on, man. TikTok. This is, I guess the deadline is looming Sunday. However, yeah, there's been a change.
Yes, they're a very important change. Outgoing President Joe Biden says he will not enforce the ban. Now, there's one caveat to this. The Supreme Court is going to rule today, apparently, on the actual law itself that was passed by Congress requiring the sale of TikTok by its Chinese owner to some other interest. And if that wasn't accomplished by the 19th of January, we would ban the app here in the United States. So the Supreme Court's ruling on this could very well change the outcome if they say that the law is unconstitutional or they don't have the power in Congress to pass such a law. But based on the conversations that we've heard during arguments, the questions being asked by the justices, it would seem that they're more inclined to allow Congress to take this kind of action based on national security grounds. So what does all this mean? If the Supreme Court says, well, it's okay to pass the law, we don't have a problem with it, and President Biden decides not to enforce the ban, that leaves it to Donald Trump, when he becomes president, what to do. And he's been talking lately. At first, he wanted a ban, but lately he's been talking, let's preserve the app. Let's find a way to make it work here in the United States.
He thanked them directly for assisting in his election.
And TikTok's CEO will be with Mr. Trump at the inauguration.
So read the room.
Yeah.
As our boss always likes to say, PJ Comanche, read the room. if the head of TikTok is at the inauguration, it's unlikely that it will get banned.
And I think that's, you know, good on. News for how many millions of people use TikTok in the United States?
Well, I'll tell you how many. 170 million.
My goodness.
Which is 2/3 of the population of United States has TikTok, an app, on their phone. There is an alternative. It's called Chow Hung Soo. No, I'm serious.
Yeah, I know.
It's Chow Hung Soo. People, and also influencers, of which there are many, are worried. We're going to talk to a couple here locally. One, Brandon Max, has nearly 3 million followers, and it started with grilled cheese sandwiches. And so everybody has their niche, and they do these TikToks. And once they get so many followers, with that comes the opportunity to influence people and make money. They get paid.
I watch on YouTube an influencer named Chef John. He's got a channel called Food Wishes, and he does little short cooking videos. I learn a lot from him, and he's got millions of viewers. That's how he makes his living these days. I mean, very successfully for several years.
What else are people talking about? Well, if the Steelers had won last week, we'd be all over that. However, that didn't happen, so the Ravens play the Bills in Buffalo on Sunday night. That's probably the game of the week for most AFC fans anyway. But Pirates Fest is tomorrow, so there's a chance to thank spring and Bradenton and baseball in a month. Players will report. Some of them are already down there.
For those who can't wait to get started to hear the crack of the bat at the ballpark, this is a good way to spend a weekend. Spend a couple hours down there at the Pirates Fest and immerse yourself in everything baseball.
It's at the David Lawrence Convention Center, and I'm thinking back, you know, to me, there's still something about baseball on the radio that's magic, because you kind of got to create your own, you know, in your mind, you create your own images, even though obviously with high definition and big screen TVs, it's fun. And I'm looking at a list. We're going to talk to Joe Block, Pirates play-by-play man, who also happened to work with the late Bob Uecker, and who passed yesterday at the age of 90, 10 days shy of his 91st birthday.
I think it's kind of nice that both you and I picked out exactly the same sound clip during my newscasts yesterday. That was the one I used with you know, that great quote, just a bit outside. from Major League.
Just a bit outside, yeah.
And before that, I think he was most known for the light beer commercial where he's at the baseball game, and he's going to sit down, and the guy says, hey, that's my seat. And he says, oh, it must be in the front row.
I loved his sense of humor.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see if all the Pirates Fest, by the way, David Lawrence Convention Center tomorrow, you'll get a sense of who the team is lined up to be for the new season. And what about Andrew McCutchen? What about Paul Skeens? Wouldn't it be nice to see Paul and Livy Dunn there? I don't know if they're going to be there, but
my first Pirates Fest, I was blown away by how many people turned out at the convention center. They were packed.
He swings and belts one out to left. This is deep. Stauer is back. Warning track gone. Home run. Jared Triolo. Hits one out to left. Home run number 8. And the Pirates are leading 3-0.
It's the voice of Joe Block, and we'll talk to him in our 9 o'clock hour. Odyssey app, take us with you wherever you go. In or out of town, AUDACY, Odyssey. Meanwhile, we had the KDK Radio Storm Center rolling all week. Just a few, and mostly they're all outside of Allegheny County schools. Couple of delays and closings that you can check out at kdkradio.com. KDK Radio Storm Center is brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van, and Butler Transit Authority. Meanwhile, favorite child. How many siblings do you have, Paul?
Four in all. I'm counting myself. Three.
Okay, can't three add. Sibs. Aaron?
Three siblings, including myself, so two.
What's your pecking order?
I'm the oldest.
Are you?
And then my sister is the middle, and my brother is the baby.
I'm one of five, four boys, and my sister Nancy is the youngest. I'm the well-adjusted middle child.
I'm a firstborn.
Wow.
That explains a lot. A new study finds that parents do treat their children differently based on their birth order. Daughters tend to be favored over sons by both mothers and fathers. Parents tend to give their oldest children more freedom, but that doesn't mean they're the favorite. Sorry, Paul.
Oh.
And the child that's more organized and agreeable tends to be favored by both parents.
I feel like that's true for me and my siblings.
Researchers overall say favoritism by parents is based on gender and behavior. Well, that makes sense.
I heard it said once that people with more than a couple kids, like if they have three or more, tend to like not hover over the youngest one as much because they're used to the chaos and the things that kids get into.
I think the oldest is the experimental child.
Right.
Your parents are like, what the heck are we doing?
Right. You don't know what you're doing.
Right. Second, depending on if they're responsible or more like, wow, crazy all over the place. I think like my sister, most people are like, is she the oldest? Because she's just very, she's funny, goofy like me, but very chill. Just very, she's got a calming presence. And my brother is a little bit of both, but he's favored because he's the only boy.
Oh.
Yeah, we love him. We all spoil him.
We're all coming out now. Yeah, I think it's pretty easy. You know, when you're the first child, the parents, you know, it's a learning curve. And no matter who you are, I can remember to this day, we brought my son home from the hospital and it hit me. There was nobody else.
Yeah.
Just the baby.
Insane.
And you're going, I have an enormous responsibility here.
I mean, to keep this thing alive.
I'm watching a younger friend who's had his first child. He's like within the last 9 months. He and his wife are exhausted, by the way. And, you know, but I've watched his entire life just turn upside down. Everything revolves around home and family and raising that little one.
Sure.
I mean, it changes everything.
And then you go through this. For me, I have three children, right? Then you have a grandchild. It's a completely different experience than being a parent.
Wow.
I tell people all the time who are on the verge of maybe having a grandchild, it's the one thing in life at this stage in life that will be better than you think it will be and helps you live in the moment. Because when you're with that child, everything else kind of is pushed to the side in that moment.
Well, all of my best memories from childhood involve all four of my grandparents.
Right. I was going to say, growing up, my grandparents were like bestie, like, oh, I'm going to grandma's house. I can do whatever I want. I can eat whatever I want.
It's
like,
so
that's
true.
It.
And there is a palpable, unquestioned love that the parents, a grandparent and a grandchild has, in most cases.
Right.
Where the kid knows, grandma, grandpa, they love me. They accept me for who I am.
Yeah, you're a bag of secrets. They're like, I can do, you're going to keep your mouth shut.
Don't tell your mother
Anyone.
And father.
Yep.
But yeah, go ahead, eat that cupcake. Eat two, have three.
Both ways. The grandparents like, shh, don't tell your parents.
Yeah, it is one of the greatest blessings, and it's really payment for putting up with all the other crap. Getting to that point. Did that come out publicly?
It came out just fine, Larry.
Yep.
Six. Coming up 10 till 2, Marty Griffin. We'll check in with Marty later in our 9 o'clock hour. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. And one of the stories that caught my attention, and with everything going on, certainly with the weather and other news, it maybe flew a little under the radar, and it's about radon. Radon in the region. And joining us, the Public Health Information Officer for Allegheny County's Health Department, Ronnie Das. Ronnie, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's Friday. It's going to be a little milder, so that's a good start for us. But in the meantime, people have heard, no doubt, about radon. And maybe if you've sold a home or bought one, you've heard you have to have a radon test. But January is National Radon Action Month. And I know Allegheny County is very involved. First of all, explain what radon is for people who maybe don't know or have heard it for the first time.
That's a great question, Larry. So radon is a naturally occurring radioactive gas that comes into the home from the ground. So there's a natural decay of uranium that moves up through the ground. There's like cracks or holes in the foundation. And actually, your home is trapping it because it would just go up into the atmosphere. So it's a radioactive gas. You can't really detect it by smell, taste, sight, or feel. So making this radon test available is really crucial because when it's breathed in, these radioactive particles could move around in a person's lungs and cause radiation damage to cells.
And for many of us, they'd be shocked to hear that it's estimated 40% of homes across the state of Pennsylvania are believed to have elevated radon levels. So the first thing to do is test to see where you are in terms of your home. And that's what's great about what you're doing with Allegheny County is the testing kits.
Absolutely. We're very excited. So January is National Radon Action Month, and we're excited at the Allegheny County Health Department to be providing 900 free radon test kits to residents in the area.
So how do they get one?
That's the great question. So the test is for informational purposes, but you can pick up one of these tests. It's Monday through Friday. Not this Monday because that is Martin Luther King Day, but Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Housing and Community Environment Office. So that's on 3190 Sassafras Way in Pittsburgh. That's in the Strip District. But any resident can go grab one of those and bring it home to their house. The instructions are very easy to be able to take that test. And then it has an envelope in there so that you could send it to a lab and get those results.
We're with Ronnie Dawes, Public Health Information Officer, Allegheny County's Health Department. Ronnie, that said, so if you got back the results and it said you're good to go, the levels are under any concern. However, if it comes back and you need to do something to remedy this, then where do you start?
So the DEP, the state offers a lot of opportunities to learn more about radon reduction systems. This redirects the gas away from your home. One of the other things that I wanted to add about this is with an estimated 21,000 lung cancer deaths per year, radon's the second leading cause of that illness. And if you take smokers out of the equation, it's the number one cause.
That is probably frightening for a lot of people to hear that. And maybe some cases for the first time, you kind of hear radon. But to your point, it's undetectable by smell, taste, sight, or feel. So you have to get a test to kind of get a baseline of where your home is.
Absolutely. And the presence of or not having radon in a home, it's different in each house in the neighborhood. So if your neighbor gets the test, it doesn't indicate the levels that could be in your home or even right next door. So we're encouraging everybody to go out to 3190 Sassafras Way and pick up one of these free radon kits. They could go up. I was looking online. They could go between $125 to $400 for some of these more commercial professional radon inspectors. For some of these home kits, it's $10 to $50. So to be able to get one of those, we're really excited to be able to provide that to the community.
All right. And you can reach out online to AlleghenyCounty.us. Check out they've got a lot of great information there, but really important with National Radon Action Month. Ronnie Dawes, appreciate your time this morning.
Appreciate you, and thank you so much for letting me be on the Big K Morning Show.
You got it, man. You did a great job. This is really important. Thanks. Have a good weekend.
All right, you as well. Thank you.
And let's check in with meteorologist Joe Lundberg at AccuWeather's World Headquarters. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
Been a challenge here with this deep freeze and persistent snow. I think the highest total in the immediate region, just north Zeely and Opel had 5 inches yesterday, 1.7 officially at Pittsburgh International. But now we're looking at a brief warm-up and then a deep freeze. What's going on?
Brief warm-up. It looks like a front will be coming into through the Midwest today, and it'll reach us probably tomorrow afternoon. Out ahead of it, you know, temperature can get up into the mid-30s with clouds breaking for some sun today. And then tomorrow, we're probably going to be up near 40 degrees. Precipitation, probably liquid in form for the most part. Rain mixed with wet snow, but I think it'll occur with temperatures well above freezing, so it shouldn't amount to too much. But then the front comes through tomorrow evening, and then after that, we drop into the deep freeze, only in the low to mid-20s Sunday. And as the storm system develops and moves by to our south and east, we may get clipped with some light snow. But then that just ushers in the true bitter Arctic air for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week.
Boy. Hey, Joe, tell us, how vast is this polar air mass? How many states are involved here?
Pretty much everybody east of the Rockies is going to have an impact by it. It'll come down first through the Plain States and then turn its way eastward. It will impact areas down deep into Texas. It will affect areas all the way down into the southeast, including Florida. In fact, as the storm moves by them Tuesday night, early Wednesday, it'll pull the coldest air in, and some of the Florida Panhandle areas may see a little wintry mix of precipitation Tuesday night as that cold air rushes in.
What? Snow?
Like in Florida? It wouldn't shock me in places like Pensacola, Milton, places like that. You know, if there were some snowflakes or ice pellets, probably more likely a little bit of freezing rain or sleet.
All right, before you go, since we're going to do probably the coldest temps in a decade here, what's the longer range to move out of the deep freeze?
Well, I think we start to pull out of the worst of it Friday, but we may do so with a storm system that could take on any kind of form of precipitation. I would lean towards a snow-wintry mix, but I wouldn't be surprised if it tried to warm up and rain if the storm track could get far enough west. And then I think we go into the end of the month in early February. It's not nearly as cold. I wouldn't say warm, but I don't think it's nearly as cold. But I think the pattern gets more stormy. So winter's not by any means dead at this point in time. I think it's going to be an active month of February.
Joe, always appreciate your input. Have a great weekend.
All right. Enjoy your weekend and stay warm, guys.
Yeah. Meteorologist Joe Lundberg. There you go, Paul.
Oh, boy.
Super.
Well, it's not like I haven't practiced before to do winter in Montana year after year. This feels a lot like it.
You should do one of those, you know, retro, I don't know, be a podcast, but, you know, back in Montana when I was a child, you know, one of those things. Meanwhile, it's 30 degrees. Hour on the Big K Morning Show, right after the news at the top with Mr. Paul Rasmussen. There is work underway in our city to try to convert places into affordable housing. We're going to tell you what the latest news is and where they're doing this coming up. Also, at Carnegie Mellon University, they always have these amazing things happening. So they're going to add these. They're called e-cargo bikes, backed by a federal grant that they got awarded to CMU. So have you ever ridden on an electric bike?
No, but they come in pretty handy in Pittsburgh, don't they?
They do. I see people on them all the time, not so much this week, but suffice to say, yeah, they're going to have a newly branded and rentable bike here in this city, and it's linked to what Carnegie Mellon University is doing. Also, stick around in our 8 o'clock hour TikTok, and the clock is ticking, or is it? So the deadline was Sunday to disable TikTok in the U.S.
But the new twist is now President Joe Biden says he won't enforce the ban if it goes into effect. That leaves the matter up to
Donald Trump,
the incoming president, who has also been reportedly considering an executive order of some kind to save TikTok. And we're also expecting the Supreme Court to rule on the constitutionality, I guess, of the law recently passed that is banning TikTok as of the 19th.
And the caveat to this is Mr. TikTok is going to be at the inauguration by invitation.
TikTok CEO Shaozi Chu.
Thank you. We'll be there along with Elon Musk. Jeff Bezos was invited, Mark Zuckerberg, these are literally the richest people on the planet by a long shot. mentioned that just came out in Bloomberg for the month of January, and we mentioned the numbers the other day, how much these guys are worth. Just right at the top is Elon Musk, worth $437 billion, and then a big drop-off to Jeff Bezos of Amazon, $243, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, $214, and the list goes on. Top 20, only one is not an American. So if you need to bum some money, go to the go to the inauguration and hang out.
Yeah.
People asked, how can I get to tickets to the inauguration? You got to call your senator.